You know what? I have to tell you, the Word of God works. And in my life, I have found out that the more I do what the Word says, the more my life is blessed.
Jesus has made a way for your life to be full of healing, prosperity, peace, and love. Find out more on today's Believer's Voice of Victory. Join special guest Kelly Copeland Swisher as she shares the benefits of living on his behalf.
Hello, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kelly Copeland Swisher. I am in this week and next week for my parents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And what an honor it is to be able to come before you and share the Word with you and see some things in the Word that we can do to really be all that we are called to be as the body of Christ. Yesterday, we started our broadcast reading in Philippians, and we talked about how as the church, without spot or wrinkle, there's maybe some growing up that we need to do, some cleaning up, growing up, maturing in the Lord that we need to do to be that church that He's called us to be. But you know what? The Lord has a great plan for us. And in the Scriptures, there's a lot of Word in here that gives us instructions for today. This book, it's always updated. It's always timely. And I know many of you believe, like I do, that Jesus is coming back very soon. And so these things that we're supposed to be for Him and these things that we're supposed to do for Him, I feel it on me to really sort of, you know, get on the ball where this is concerned and let my life be a useful tool for Him. So we're talking a lot about that this next 2 weeks, about living on His behalf, and what does that mean, and what are you talking about, Kelly? Well, yesterday we read from Philippians where Paul prayed for them that their love would abound, that it would grow, that their knowledge and understanding would grow. And he said their love would display itself. And so we talked about, I asked you a couple of questions. So I'll repeat those questions today just to help us get our, you know, minds thinking in the same direction. My first question for you is, in examining your life and the purpose that you live your life with, have you allowed God to finish the good work that He began in you? Paul said, I know that God will continue the good work that He began. Well, He began a good work in me years and years ago when I asked Him as a little child to come into my heart. And He began a good work in me. But I have had to allow Him to continue that. And I know I can look back on my life and, you know, maybe you can look back on your life and see where you had stubborn eras or stubborn periods where you didn't allow Him to continue the growth in you as rapidly as maybe He is today. Maybe you're there now. Maybe you haven't seen a lot of spiritual growth in the last few years. Well, that's okay. We can go from today right here and make decisions to allow Him to continue that in us. My next question is, do we know what really matters? And when I say what really matters, I mean, do we know what really matters to God? Do we know what really matters to Jesus? Because really, that's all that really matters. I think sometimes we get all up in the air. We get all upset about things. And the Lord's going, why are you upset about that? That doesn't even really matter. And so I want to know what really matters to Him, because that should dictate what really matters to me, if I'm in the right place with Him. And so my next question is your life bearing fruit? You know, fruit has to show. I talked to you yesterday about my fruit tree. I have no idea. It said it was a fruit tree when I bought it, but I have no idea what kind of fruit tree it might be because I've never seen any fruit. And I certainly don't want. And you know what? I believe that Christians have this reputation in the world today that people don't see any fruit coming, or enough fruit coming from the body of believers. You know what? People ought to be able to look at us and say, boy, there's a difference there. And on an individual basis, I know that people do see that. People probably come up to you maybe and say, you know, something's different about you. What is it? But our lives and we as a whole body of Christ should be so different. You know, in the land of Egypt, when things were dark and bad over there, there was light in the land of Goshen. And in these days that we're living in, where people are more and more trusting in the government, they're trusting in themselves, they're trusting in all kinds of things, but they've taken their trust out of God, out of His hands. They're taking their trust off of Him as their source and their supply and their God, not trusting Him to tell them what to do or to be obedient. Even a lot of His own people don't trust Him enough to obey Him. And so people have taken their trust from God and put it over here in the world. And the more that happens, the more darkness is going to be in the world and the more people are going to have a hard time. They're going to stumble over things. They don't even know what they're stumbling over, the Word says. But then it should get lighter in the body of Christ, lighter in the land of Goshen, because as sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So I want to walk in that grace, don't you? I want to walk in that power, in that manifested glory. What is that? What is manifested glory? It's just His presence manifested. Well, if His presence is manifested, that means there's going to be fruit. And so is your life showing fruit? And I don't mean just the, you know, the fruit of the Spirit that we know, love, joy, peace. I do mean that. But when I say, is it showing fruit? Is your life a good evidence? Is your life a good body of evidence of what Jesus did for you? Of salvation. You know, it says in the Word, many times it says the work of salvation, or talks about, even in Philippians, it talks about that salvation. It's saying, Are our lives bearing the fruit of what Jesus did? Healing, blessing, prosperity, peace, family. You know what? I have to tell you, the Word of God works. And in my life, I have found out that the more I do what the Word says, the more my life is blessed and the more things work. And it's not about keeping rules, on the other hand. I don't keep a bunch of rules. The more mature I get in the Lord, the more I just want to do what He wants me to do. I just want to obey what He's told me to do and to be what He wants and He's planned. Psalm 139 says He wrote every moment of my life. He's already planned a good plan for me. Jeremiah 29:11 says, the older I get, and it doesn't have anything to do with age either. I see young college kids walking in this, my own kids walking this. The more mature I get, the more I just want to do what He wants me to do. And the funny thing is, the more I get like that and the more I am like that, the more blessed my life is. I just think sometimes, Lord, could You do any more for me? I can't think of what it would be. You know, my children are blessed. They are passionate to follow the Lord. They are passionate about His Word. They are obedient. They love me. My husband is amazing. And I mean, just a picture of Jesus to me. Our ministry, the things that we get to do, it astounds me, the things that I get to walk into. And you know, money cannot buy that for you. No level of worldly success can buy a family, can buy peace, or can buy the things that Jesus bought on the cross for us. There's only one thing that can buy that, and it was the life and the blood of Jesus. So as He did that for us, is your life, are our lives showing that to others? It's not enough just to have that on the inside and say, well, you know, I worship the Lord on the inside. Great. Our lives should be a constant witness and a constant worship of the Lord. It says in Philippians 1, it talks about, in the Amplified especially, it talks about that, you know, walking in that love. And then in verse 13, it says, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the fruit of what he did for you. And it says, for this will bring glory and praise to God. What? The fruit of what he did in my life will bring glory to God in the marketplace, at your job. And so that's what we're really going to be talking about. How do we do that? How do we be what we're supposed to be? How do we be what he needs us to be? And how do we make our life be a worthy? You know, in verse 27, Paul talks about being a worthy representation. He says, he was talking about himself. He says, you're going to have even more reason to take pride in Jesus because of what he's doing through me. Paul knew it's not me. You know, I guess you could read Paul's writings and think, well, he's kind of prideful, but he wasn't. He knew exactly who to have pride in. And it was in Jesus Christ because of what he was doing. Can you say that about you when I see you next year? Can I take even more pride in Jesus because of what I'm seeing in your life? I want people to be able to say that about my life. You know, my life has grown so much in the last 2 years. In the last year, my life has changed radically. God's just poured blessing after blessing after blessing. And you know, some years back, I made a decision. You know what? I'm doing what God asked me to do. I am going to do things his way. I'm not going to live in my flesh. I'm going to live by the Spirit and the power. You know, that got me through some hard times. And then I thought, I'm blessed. Everything's awesome. And then the Lord brought Steve Swisher into my life. And I thought, God, can it get any better? And it's gotten better every day. You can look at my life and say, man, Jesus is working in her life. Well, can we say that about you? And it's not me. Only thing I did was just make a decision to do things his way and to do my best to be what he has asked me to be. And to do, as Paul says here in verse 27, live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. My life should be a worthy representation of the gospel, of the good news of what Jesus did for you. And so when I see you again, as Paul says, can I say, boy, I can take even more of a picture of what Jesus did by looking at your life. That's where I want us all to be in a year from now. I want us people to be saying about us, boy, Jesus has changed your life. And you know what? It's not that hard. We can live this life out the way he asked us to do it and live on his behalf. For some of us, it may not even be changing so much what we're doing as our purpose in doing it. There's a lot of power in purpose. Why do you do what you do? Maybe you do support. Maybe you support ministries. Maybe you support feeding children. Maybe you support disaster relief. Maybe it's just your purpose behind doing those things that needs to be altered or changed. Or maybe you just need an understanding of what you're doing so that you know when you begin to walk in the things of God on purpose. So anyway, those are the things that we're going to get into, and I better get started or we won't get very far. And we were talking yesterday in Philippians, and so let's just pick it up. I just read to you Philippians 1:27, living as citizens of heaven, not citizens of here. You know what? Our economy is not based on the economy of the world today. Can everybody give a resounding praise God? Because we are not based on what they're doing, because we don't live our life like that. They're not our source. God is our source. So we ought to be able to live based on his rules. And his rules are given, it shall be given unto you. His rules are do unto others as you would have them do unto you. His rules are you can't outgive God. He's going to take care of you when you obey him. And his rules are the blessing. Amen. And so he says here, we've been given the privilege of trusting in Christ, but we've also been given the privilege of suffering for him. What does that mean, suffering for him? Well, for Paul, it was being in prison, but on the other hand, he was so unfocused on that. He was focused on what was happening, the good things that were happening on Jesus' behalf. And so that it's kind of, you know, suffering's not that hard when you're so focused on the fact that Jesus, the gospel of Jesus is being preached. So when something happens to you, you know, God didn't bring things on you that are bad. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The Bible's very clear about that. Jesus came that we might have life. So what is our suffering? Our suffering is not bowing down when things happen and just letting them happen. Our suffering is that, in a sense, sometimes our suffering is just being nice to people that are rude. You know, you know, being Jesus, that's our suffering. We're supposed to have the same mind, the same attitude as he did and as he does. And that's part of our suffering, is not having our own mind, not having our own way of doing things, not having our own what matters to me is what matters. You know, what matters to me is what matters to Jesus. And so we'll get into some of that and explain that as we go. But I want you to see this in chapter. We're going to really get started here. Philippians chapter 2. He says here, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Well, you know what? I believe a response is required here. Sometimes we read through these words and we don't grasp what they're really, what is really being said to us. I would just ask you, if you're born again today, if you're not, you might consider it, because it's an awesome way to live. I'm telling you, we get so much from our Lord Jesus. Everything good that I have, I got from him. And he says here, Paul's asking them, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Do you get any encouragement? I do. Boy, because I belong to Jesus, when something happens that's not good in my life, or some negative thing tries to pop its head up, I get encouragement from the inside. I get encouragement because I know he's already paid the price to fix whatever it is. I just need to believe him for it and trust in him and obey him, and he'll get me out of it. It says, do you have any comfort from his love? Boy, I do. You're sitting at home going, absolutely. Whenever I've preached this, I ask people that in the audience, and they go, yes, I get comfort from his love. Is there any fellowship together in the Spirit? Do you have people in your church? Do you know people that are also of the same spirit as you, and you get and you have good fellowship with them, as well as fellowship inside with the Spirit of God living in there? I do. As I can say an affirmative yes to all of this. Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Yes. God has made me tender to people, compassionate. God has put a love on inside of me that I can walk in, a love that doesn't matter what people do to me. A 1 Corinthians chapter 13 love that's not rude, it's not boastful, doesn't take any account of things wrong done. God's put that on the inside of me, and so I can say yes. He has made me tender and compassionate. Then he says, if that's the case, then he says, agree wholeheartedly with each other. Love one another. Work together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Now, you know what? He goes on and he lists some of these things. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. What's he saying here? Has Jesus done any of these things for you? Well, then you do those same things for other people. He said, has Jesus given you comfort and fellowship? Then you give that. You walk in love. You comfort somebody else. You give them fellowship. You be Jesus to them. He says here, you must have the same attitude that Christ had, that Jesus had. Show results of your salvation. Show outwardly to other people what Jesus did in you. You know, there are a group of people that are doing that very thing, and they're not doing it to meet some kind of law requirement. They're not doing it to meet some kind of requirement of God. They're doing it to be a representation of Jesus in people's lives. Watch this. You'll enjoy this.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries established the KCM Relief Fund to provide timely assistance to partners and friends affected by major disasters. On September 12, 2008, the third most destructive hurricane to ever hit the United States struck the greater Galveston area. Through our Partners Helping Partners outreach, Kenneth Copeland Ministries was able to help provide food, water, medical assistance, and also the good news that Jesus is Lord, even in times of disaster. We partnered with the Good News Galveston Ministry and were able to help them in their outreach efforts.
The first thing that has to be done in order to go into a place like Galveston and start effectively doing ministry, we have to notify our partners and let them know, listen, here's the catastrophe, here's the situation, we're going, and we head that direction. But then people like Kenneth Copeland Ministries come along and say, look, here's some seed to help you start planting in the ground of that disaster to change people's lives with. And that's exactly what Kenneth Copeland Ministries did. Right off the bat, they sent a check and said, listen, you go in there and you do what Jesus tells you to do. And couldn't do it without them.
For almost 10 years, I was a minister on staff at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And what was a tremendous thing about being a part of the ministry was our role as a department in reaching out to partners when devastation and disasters took place. And I'll never forget, May 3rd, 1999, our department sent two of us to reach out to partners and to look for them for 2 days to reach out and minister to people in the worst disaster that had taken place through a tornado, an F5 in Oklahoma City. And it changed my life. It was a life-changing experience, being involved in reaching partners that were in a moment of need, and we were able to bring them hope and victory through Christ. And they were so grateful to have KCM coming to them in their most critical moment.
In the last 90 days, we've been able to distribute over $4 million worth of goods and services. But not only are we setting up things like a point of distribution to give people food and water and cleaning supplies, medical supplies. We have a medical mobile clinic who's been rolling throughout the area, taking care of people's needs. But also we have people that are sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and letting them know that Jesus is Lord, even in the middle of this disaster, even in the middle of this catastrophe, that Jesus is Lord over all the situation, but he's also Lord for their personal lives. You know, I'm so honored to be a partner of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's ministry. It's amazing to me, their Partners Helping Partners program is such an awesome concept. And, you know, I've been sowing into what they're doing all throughout the world, and they've turned around and sowed back into what we're doing. And really, it's just a team effort.
And so now, being a part of this ministry with my father-in-law and having that seed sown through Kenneth Copeland Ministries, it shows you how God works in such unique ways to bring ministries and lives together to bring the victory message of Jesus Christ. Thank you, KCM Partners.
For more information on how you can help, log on to our website at kcm.org and click on Connect, then find Partners Helping Partners. Together, we can make a difference. In the uncertainty of the world's financial system, people everywhere struggle to keep their jobs, pay their bills, and prepare for the future. Is there a way to be truly prosperous and blessed in these changing times? God's Word has much to say about the purpose of money and the promise of prosperity. Blessed to Be a Blessing, a book by Kenneth Copeland, reveals God's desires to bless you. God has made all of heaven's supply available to you for a specific plan and purpose. In this practical book, you'll find out how to tap into God's promises and heaven's economy to change the world around you. It's time for the children of God to have the financial means to reach people for Jesus. Don't settle for less. Think bigger, because God has more for you. Get into God's system and be blessed to be a blessing. Order your copy of Blessed to Be a Blessing, now available for just $10. for a product discount and faster processing, order online at kcm.org. In this book by Kenneth Copeland, find out the truth about God's desire for you to prosper and live in abundance. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy today.
You know, I liked Pastor Davis's shirt. It's like, Jesus loves you, and so do we. And that is the message. You know, Jesus loves you is not enough to just say that. It's not enough for people to grasp that he loves them. But backed up with, we love you on his behalf. We want to do something for you. We want to help you. Then we're a representation of what he did for people. And people just grab onto that. You know, Paul said, I'm getting a little ahead of myself for tomorrow. But Paul said, you know, he was talking about, okay, do I stay with you or do I die? He said, because he'd rather go on and be with the Lord. It'd be better for him. But to stay here is better for you. He says, you know, because to me, living means living for Christ. That's what he said in Philippians 1. And then he says here over in chapter 2, he says, I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God. Just like your faithful servants, first service is an offering to God. He's comparing giving your life for the gospel to just doing everyday things for him. Being nice to people, walking in love with people, helping people. You know, this Good News Galveston, they have poured out. They put all their life aside to help people. And that is a liquid offering poured out to God, according to Paul here. And, you know, that's what real prosperity is about. That's what KCM is blessed to be able to give money to them to go do that. We are blessed to be a blessing, which is my dad's book, Blessed to Be a Blessing. That's what we're supposed to do. This is who we are, folks. We are blessed to be a blessing. You know, Steve and I are so blessed to be over the KCM Partners, helping partners in the Relief Fund. And we've gotten to talk to so many people whose lives have been changed because of what you've done for them. So I know y'all already get this, but this book will be a blessing to you if you order it. We've got meetings coming up. We've got the Copeland family meetings, KCM meetings, Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. You need to be there November the 12th through the 14th, Woodbridge, Virginia at the Hilton Memorial Chapel. It's going to be a great meeting just outside of our nation's capital. You can go to our website and find out all of that, what we're doing at kcm.org. Thank you for listening to me today. This is Kelly Copeland Swisher reminding you today that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or to order a copy of today's product online, visit our website at kcm.org. There you'll find a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you grow in your walk with the Lord.